Amen. It's good to see you today in the house of the Lord. I know that the Spirit of the Lord has already touched you and has been moving. I could have sang that third song over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, that was just feeding my soul. And so I trust that he's not done with us yet, though. And I preached really hard in the first service, and I'm tired, quite honest. And I wasn't expecting it at all. This morning, I was sitting in my office and just going over these notes, and I realized that that I missed it. You know, like, that God had something more specific that he wanted to give to the people. And so you just pray for me today that I'm flowing with the Spirit of God to give you what the Spirit of the Lord has for you today. So I titled this, The Ministry of Practicality Starts with Empathy. The Ministry of Practicality Starts with Empathy. And so chapter 9 of the book of Acts, we've been talking about the life of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. But in verse 32 is where we'll start today, and we're switching main characters. So we're not going to talk about Saul, we're going to talk about Peter. In verse 32 it says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints," underline that, "to the saints who dwell in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed.' Then he arose immediately, so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas." That's the Greek translation. "This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in the upper room." Great things happen in the upper room, right? Amen. "And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing their tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout Joppa that many believed on the Lord, so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner." Father God, we just come before you, Lord, thankful for this great story, Lord, these two great stories in this short passage of Scripture. God, I pray now that the Spirit of God would come along with the Word of God and make it alive to us. God, I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive, and that we would be honest. Can we be honest today as people, Lord? I pray the Spirit of God would see the honesty and the humility of this congregation, and he would just distribute the things that he needs to distribute today, God. So, Lord, minister by your grace, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The ministry of practicality starts with empathy. Sandwiched between these two wonderful miracles is another story of really where we live. And so miracles are wonderful. There was not a day of miracles. There is a God of miracles, right? We serve the God of miracles. In other words, God did not stop working miracles after the book of Acts. He has continued, and he is continuing today to be the God of miracles, and we should ask for them. But a miracle is the divine supernatural act of God to interrupt. I don't really like the word interrupt, but I don't know of another word. Intercept your daily life. In other words, you're just moving along life, making the best of a situation, and you cry out to God, and he gives you a miracle. everything has changed. Everything is new. It's wonderful, right? Miracles are wonderful. Can you say that with me? Miracles are wonderful. Amen. But we don't experience miracles on a daily basis. Right? It's not really where we live. So what do? In between, right? And I believe God wants to sort of answer that for us. So we first thing we do is we see the story of Aeneas. And so I want you to know, it says here that Peter came to this city of Lydda, and he came down to the saints. That's really an important line. He is coming down to minister to the saints of God, to the church of God, right? And so in Lydda, though, he found a certain man. Now, last week, in the very first part of this chapter, we studied about Ananias, and the Bible says that was a certain disciple. A little bit later in this story, we read about Tabitha, or Dorcas. I'll probably refer to her as Dorcas, and it calls her a certain disciple. But it doesn't call this gentleman Aeneas. It doesn't call him a disciple. It just calls him a certain man. And so one of the song that she was singing from Psalms 34, it says, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Hallelujah. "The angel of the Lord," verse 7, "is encamped round about those who fear him and delivers them." Those who fear him, those who stand in awe of God. Now, we are pretty bad about taking verse 7 and taking it out of context and praying that. I am bad about that. I'll say me. And I pray, if you're going on a long trip and I pray, I'm probably going to quote that verse. "The angels of the Lord are encamped around about them." Why? Because I know that you love the Lord. I know that you fear God. Am I wrong to say that? No. But put it back in context for just a second. Let's put it right back into context. This poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from his trouble. Why? Because the angels of the Lord are encamped around about them. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, see, we can't see what we can't see. I can't see that when I'm in trouble, when my life seemingly is falling apart, that the angels of the Lord are encamped around about me. And he's just waiting for me to cry out to the Lord. But here's what's fascinating. Now, I'm gonna take a little liberty this morning. Is that okay with you? Yes. Okay, even if it's not, I'm going to. So there was a certain man out there who was bedridden for 8 years, paralyzed, not his entire life. Did you catch that? So I'm thinking, what's the story on this man? I'm guessing that this man was probably married, probably had children, and all of a sudden something bad happened to this man. He winds up in bed paralyzed. What does that mean? It means mama's got double duty. It means the life of his wife has all of a sudden become much, much more difficult. She's not only caring for the kids, but she's having to provide the income for the family and take care of a husband that's paralyzed in bed. All of a sudden, life has become very challenging. You know what has a way of doing that? I don't know if maybe all of you live in this little bubble that I don't live in, but I'm telling you, my life has become challenging, and sometimes it happens overnight. Sometimes it's all of a sudden. And the Bible doesn't tell us that this man cried out to the Lord. And Peter didn't come for this man. Peter came to the saints. Did you catch that? He's going to the church. I'm coming here to minister to the saints. And something all of a sudden occurred to me. There was a saint in the church that said, "I know a man. Whoo. I know a family that's hurting today. I'm telling you, 8 years ago, something happened to him, and he's in bed, he can't move, and his wife is going through a living hell. She's trying to do everything, care for the kids and make the income. She's doing it all, and man, she needs help." And I see Peter saying, "Well, let's go pray for him." I'm thinking, thank God for an intercessor. Thank God that somebody's looking not just on me, but on someone else. I'm telling you, church, the devil wants us to get so focused on me and mine and what's happening right here. Oh, I'm so concerned about me that I forget about you. God didn't set me in this world just to be concerned about me. God's put us in a body. Know this, the church is called the body of Christ. We are not Long Rangers. We're not John Wayne the Duke. We're called to link arms, to join one another, to help one another, to intercede for one another. I'm telling you, I don't think this miracle would have ever happened had somebody not say, I know a man. Poor man cried out. You know, I just think, but not that poor man. Now, maybe that man had been crying out for God for a long time. But I'm telling you, somebody cried out for that man. The reason you're in the house of God today is somebody cried out for you. It might have been mama, might have been grandma. I said this morning, we get to heaven. I think we're all going to be very surprised. We're all going to go up there and we're going to see these people with these big old crowns, right? Oh, they've done great. And we're going to run up to them and we're going to say, what TV station was you preaching on? And she said, I'm just a grandma. I just cried out to God. Amen. You know, Johnny told me a few weeks ago when his Heather was sick, she said this, and this convicted me. She said, I miss Maxine. I miss grandma. Oh my God, folks. If you got somebody that's praying for you, you got a friend. The highest gift, the highest offering that I could offer you is saying, I'm praying for you. I know Maxine. I knew her. I knew her well. I've listened to her pray. I knew she knew how to reach heaven. I understand what Heather was saying. Man, now when bad times hit, I feel alone. And I'm telling you, we live in a world that feels alone when bad times happen. And they're not. Here's the body of Christ right here in front of you. Somebody needs to call for Peter. Peter goes in, looks at Aeneas. He said, let's get this straight first, Aeneas. I'm a nobody. I'm just an apostle. But I want to tell you about a somebody. I want you to know that the healing that's getting ready to come into your body is not about Peter, but it is about Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. He used the name. He used the name that's above all names, every name. He said this after the man was healed. He looked at him and said, Aeneas, now make your bed, boy. Now, I like this, and you probably ain't gonna like it. But there's days in my week that I think I didn't get nothing done. This is the most ineffective day that I ever got done. But I will promise you one thing: I made my bed. Because when my feet hit the floor, I start reaching for the covers. Come on, let's. Let's make this bed. And if she makes it to the other side, that's, oh yeah, I'm winning today. You know what that means? I'm ready for my day. I'm ready now to take a shower. I'm ready to brush my teeth and I'm ready to talk to every loser there is in town. No, I'm just. I'm ready for the problems of life. Why? Because I made my bed. I believe that's what he's telling. And Aeneas, time to get to work. The man you used to be is not who you are today. Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost in that. Some of you need to wake up and realize that. Man, I saw this guy's picture his driver's license. Was it this week? We're getting our policy together for the van, and we're looking. I'm looking through the driver's license, and I saw his picture, and I thought, I forgot he looked like that. I'm like, I wouldn't trust my kids to that. I'm telling you, you look at this guy today, and it's a makeover. Why? Because of Jesus. God has put kindness in his eyes and heart where there didn't used to be. I wish I had that picture. I'd just show you. It was such a great picture of what God has done in his life. You know, some of you need to realize you are not the failure you used to be. God's at work. Don't sell him short. God wants to do something great in your life. It says the miracle brought many people to Christ. Many people came to Christ. So quit trying to go it alone. We're a body. We need each other. Then we transition very quickly into the story of Dorcas. Dorcas was a woman known of good works. She did good through the body of Christ, just helping people. And so she got sick and died, seems like very suddenly. And all of a sudden, they wash her, they put her up in the upper room, and they're getting ready to have the wake. And somebody looks over and said, I heard Peter was in the next town. You know what they just did? They just threw out a little hope. They didn't say much. Hey, I heard Peter's over there. So what? Now it's Peter. Did you know Aeneas? Did you hear the story about Aeneas? He's paralyzed for 8 years and he's walking today. Why? Because Peter's in town. Someone greater than Peter's here, folks. I don't know if you felt it, but there's a move of the Holy Ghost in this place today. Let me just dispense a little hope to you. Hey, you don't have to stay in the junk you're in because Jesus is in the room. Someone said, think we can send for him? Well, I don't know why not. You know, he was with Jesus when they raised Lazarus from the dead. And they waited 4 stinking days. Tell him not to wait this time, would you? Get on your way, Peter. We don't have time. And Peter, he heard the story, he come right on over. And man, he walks into this upper room and all these people are wailing. Oh my God, look what she made for me. Look, I love this woman. You know what they're saying? In my darkest, deepest pit, this woman remembered me. This woman, when I was freezing, this woman made me a coat. This woman did good for the whole body. I mean, she's just a good, good woman. We can't lose her. We need Dorcases in the world. Peter heard their stories. But then he did something very, very important. He said, okay, it's time for the emotions to leave and faith to arise. I don't see any rudeness in this whatsoever. But he says, ladies, let's move on out of here. I need some alone time with this body. Just get on out. Take your emotion with you. God doesn't listen to emotion. He listens to faith. Ooh, that's good. It's faith that moves the hand of God, not your emotion. You can wail and scream and cry all day long, but when you stand in faith and when you start quoting the word of God, God's attention comes up. He starts listening. Why? Because you're quoting his word back to him. Peter looks at her and prays, I believe. And then three words? Yeah. He says, Tabitha, get up. Ooh, hallelujah. What was that announcer for the Cardinals? Get up, baby, get up. Hallelujah. I mean, I feel like that's what the church needs here. Get up, baby, get up. Come on, we need a grand slam right now. Yeah. What does Paris need? Paris needs Jesus. Paris needs to see that God is still the God of miracles. That God will interject himself in your downtrodden area. Too many of us have believed the lie of the devil. Well, my life is falling apart, and that's just the way it's going to be. It is until you put emotions aside and step into faith. Can you watch this? The old dead body. He's praying over a cold piece of flesh. Come on, Tabitha. Get up, girl. Then my eyes come open. She looks at Peter and says, "What are you doing in my bedroom?" She looks at him. She knows. She knows. She just raises up. And then the hand of help is extended. The church hand is extended and said, "Let me get you out of that bed. There's still a work for you to do. Come on, let's get alive. Let's get back to sowing. Let's get back to doing good works." I'm telling you, in the midst of these two great miracles, we have this precious little story of the woman of good works. Too many of us are sympathizers and not empathetic. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the Bible says a certain man was headed down to Jericho and he fell among thieves. And so he was robbed and beat. And then the priest and the Levite, they saw him and I'm sure they sympathized with him. I'm sure they thought, "Oh, bless his heart." We talked about that on Wednesday night. "Oh, bless his heart. I ain't going to do nothing for you, but bless your heart." And then a Samaritan came by. And the Samaritan wasn't sympathetic. He was empathetic. In other words, he felt what that man felt. You know, as I was reading about the difference between sympathy and empathy, it said, an empathetic person steps into their shoes. And then it said something that I thought, I do this. And so I love to watch boxing. And when you can find it. And so, but Treva loves to watch me watch boxing. And so, because I'm dodging and I cannot watch, without throwing an arm up. Why? Because I'm empathetic. I'm into that character. I see that blow coming, right? Put your right up, man. Put your right. The church has become sympathetic, not empathetic. We have blessed too many people's hearts and done nothing. So what does God want? God wants you to get busy. Let's look at a couple of verses. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Have you really helped them? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." That means God's masterpiece. Do you realize that? Pat yourself on the chest. I'm God's masterpiece. Really, you are. You know the word that we get from this workmanship? You know what it is? Poetry. It's the Greek word for workmanship is the word that we get poetry from. You are God's poem being written for the world to see. God has written your story. Listen to the rest of this. He says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's the designer of your life. Proverbs 3, verse 27 and 28 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it's given or to whom it's due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. don't say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. If it's within your power to help somebody, help them. Now, if they're not willing to work, New Testament has a rule on that. He says, a man ought to work, and when refuses to work, he's capable of work, he shouldn't eat. But those people that are out there struggling, doing all they can do, times are difficult. They're working, they're trying, the mama is being daddy and mama and provider and everything. And you say, God bless you, I'll pray you. Oh, I think you just made God mad. Jesus said, Matthew 5, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're living in a time when people are hurting. No, more than finances. I'm telling you, people that you go to work with are withholding knowledge from you because they don't want you to know. You know why? They don't trust you with it. Why? Because the church is bigger gossips than they are help. That's an indictment, isn't it? Say, Eric, that's your opinion. Yeah, I think it's pretty well established. They're not going to share with you when their life is falling apart because they don't trust you to pray. Instead, they're afraid that you're going to share. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people hurting. Today in the first service, I gave an altar call. I'm sitting there arguing with the Lord. He's saying, open up the altars. And I'm saying, ain't nobody coming down here. He said, open up the altars. I said, I'm telling you, Jesus, ain't nobody going to come. I mean, you just have no idea how much I talk to the Lord. Maybe talk back to the Lord. I'm not sure. I'm telling you, the whole altar was full. Wow. The altar call went something like that, like this. Just enough to tell people my life falling apart. I'm going through the biggest battle that I've ever been through in my life. But I got my smile on. I'm acting like everything's okay. But inside I feel like my heart has been pierced 1,000 times. You know, sometimes I don't even want to get out of bed. It's just hard to get out of bed. It's a real challenge. I'm in a loveless marriage. My finances are falling apart. Sister told us last night, I haven't spoken to my son in 11 years. That's hurt. That's pain. Are you following me? See, I'm talking to people right now. That behind that smile, behind this facade, we know the face that we had to put on to go to church. But I'm telling you, God sees the real face. And sometimes we just got to get real with each other. We got to say, this poor man not only cried out to the Lord, but I'm crying out to you. I need help. I need somebody just with a sympathetic, empathetic ear. You know, I'm not a great counselor. But I talk to people a lot because a lot of times if you just let them talk, they'll answer their own problems. They'll solve their own. They'll come up with a solution. Sometimes I feel so simplistic in my thought. I'm sick. You need Jesus. Hey, I'm broke. You need Jesus. My marriage is falling apart. You need Jesus. I mean, I got the same answer for 1,000 problems. Jesus, He's the solution. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. I don't know how women think. I've been married 43 years to the same woman, and every day is new. I'm telling you, it's just like, I mean, we are different. Men and women think different. So ladies, I can't help you much this morning, but I can talk to you men. I'm gathering that maybe women are not that much different in this. You think you can solve your own problems. You think, I just need to jerk down, get my bootstraps, and jerk myself together. I'm telling you, that saying doesn't even make sense.
You're right.
Here's a prophetic word. You cannot do this alone.
Amen.
You can't. You're not going to go through this and win by yourself. You need God. But you also need the body of Christ.
Yes.
See, we know we need God. We forget we need you. You hear me? You are an important ingredient in this solution, the body of Christ. Peter takes Dorcas by the hand, says, "Get up, babe. Come on." Lazarus come out of the grave. Jesus looked at the people standing around and he said, "Now you loose him and let him go free. I got him out of the grave, but you loose him." I believe that's a message for the church. I believe the church, when we come together, we take the grave clothes off. We're able to take the napkin off the head, which represents the thoughts. I'm telling you, there probably are people right now in this room that are contemplating suicide. Oh, you don't know it because we put a smile on. I'm telling you, people's lives are teeter-tottering. And we have the answer. And the answer is Christ, but it's also an empathetic ear. Someone that will listen. Someone that will join your arm and said, "You're not going to go through this alone. I'm with you all the way." God doesn't call us an army for nothing. We are the army of God. We are the body. Do you get this? Everything that He calls us means we're joining together. God never wanted to splinter the body of Christ. He wants us together. We heard a story today as we was coming to church. Martin Luther, the great man of God, also suffered depression regularly. I don't know if you knew that. Many great men of God, great women of God, actually suffered depression. Who knew Robin Williams, one of the funniest men in the earth, was falling apart and would commit suicide? It took the world by surprise. Why? Because all we was listening to his jokes. I'm telling you, people are not sharing their heart. Martin Luther was going through a dark season in his life, and his wife went up and got dressed and come down. And she was dressed like she's going to a funeral. And he said, why are you dressed like that? And she said, "God died." He said, "God's not dead." And he said, "Well, the way you're acting made me think he's dead." He went, pretty sure he repented. And he wrote this song. "A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark, never failing. Our helper, He, amid the flood of mortal life prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe." The devil's still at work. "His craft and power are great, armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. The devil is a roaring lion. But all of a sudden, Luther got the image, but God is greater. See, sometimes on Wednesday night, we started the lesson with Paul writing to his son, saying, remind them and charge them. See, I probably have not taught you one thing today, but I've reminded you that he is still working, that God is still in control. And I don't care what the devil is playing in your mind. I don't know what the devil is telling you, that you're losing it, that you're going crazy, that you're dealing with all this junk. I want you to know, God still knows where you're at. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to ask you the same thing that I spoke to the first congregation. You're here and you think your life is falling apart. And it's going to take great courage for you to step out of that chair. Because when you step out of that chair, you're taking the mask off. And you're willing to say, I don't care what they think about me. I want them to pray for me. I need some intercessory today. So if that's you today, I want you to step out of your chair. We're not going to pray for you individually, but we are definitely going to pray. Would you just come and line up across this front if you need the Lord to do something for you today? Sing that, Treva. What? You're on.
How great is our God.
Give me a little bit more.
Sing with
me. How great is our God.
Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
How great.
Come on.
Is our God.
Come on, take a step of faith.
Sing with me.
Is our God.
Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
Now I want someone to come and stand behind each person here. Come and join arms with them. Your job today is to pray. You don't have to know a thing. I don't even want you to talk to them. I just want them to know that somebody's standing in the gap for them today. You just realize that person was honest enough to take the mask off. Let's lift them up. Hallelujah. Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord. I thank you for honest people. I thank you, Lord, that there are folks in this room that said, man, do I need a miracle. Man, do I need a church that's willing to pray for me. I have great need in my life today. It seems that my life is falling apart, but God, I need a but God today. I need the healer to come in the room. I need the counselor to enter into my life. I need the reconciler. I need the Almighty God right now to give me the strength to overcome. I need you to paint a new picture in my mind. God, I'm tired of seeing myself as a failure, and I'm ready to see the victor, Lord. Father, I bind the enemy right now. I bind Satan. I bind his thoughts. I bind the words that he's been speaking over these lives. I say, devil, you're a liar. You're the father of all lies. You're trying to stop what God is doing, and we're not going to allow it. I pray right now for victory. Victory right now in the name of Jesus to touch these folks. Lord, work in their life. Work in their life, God. Do a mighty miracle today. Jesus, we call on the name of the Lord. The poor man cried out and you heard him. God, I believe right now you are hearing our cry. You said you heard him and you delivered him from all of his trouble. The angels of the Lord are encamped around about them. I thank you, Lord, that this altar area is full of angels, God, full of the messengers of the Holy Ghost, bringing your word to their hearts. Father, I say with my words, I look at that mountain and I speak to that mountain and I say, I'm not going to believe the lie of the enemy any longer. I believe that I've been called to victory. Your word says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in me, he'll complete it. He will complete the work that he started. Now tell the devil to take a hike. He's a liar. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that many of the people in this altar, Lord, they may have just wandered into this room today. What they thought, they were just going to this church over here. But God, it was the steps of the righteous. You were leading and guiding. You were moving by your spirit for them to hear the word of the Lord today, so that you could turn their life around. God, I'm asking you by your spirit right now, move in every one of these honest people's lives. Change their situation. I pray right now, darkness and despair has to leave and hope comes in. Oh, let the light of Jesus, the hope of the gospel, hallelujah, let it enter into their minds, into their hearts. The devil's been telling them your good days are behind you. All that's ahead is disaster and failure. And I say, devil, you're a liar. Take that back to hell with you. I am more than a conqueror to him. He's called me to conquer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Till I draw my last breath, God, I will serve you with all my heart. Oh, I'm not going anywhere, devil. I have planted my feet. I am a certain disciple. I am reliable. I am faithful. I know who I am, and I know the God that I serve, and he will cause me to triumph in Jesus' name. I declare it with my lips. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give the Lord a praise? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Denny.
God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Don't forget the announcements that Dale gave this morning. Make sure you check the app. If you forgot what he said, because Pastor been yelling all morning, then just look at the app. It has all the announcements, all that, so we're good to go. So, yes.